Just a quick warning, this podcast series contains discussions about crime, trauma, sexual abuse, drug use, and suicide. Listener discretion is advised. Police corruption survivor and advocate, my lifelong friend, Clint Foster, welcome to The Sticker.
Glad to be here, Russell. Thanks for having me, mate.
Clint, you're a local in this area. You grew up around Newtown, Erskineville area.
I did, mate, yeah, as well as Marrickville.
Yeah. Also the brother-in-law to four-time world champion boxer Jeff Fenwick.
Yeah, I'd probably class him more as a idol, friend, someone that's taught me more than most in life.
You grew up with a house full of girls, mate. How was that?
It wasn't too hard for me. I became very spoilt.
Yeah?
They had to take the garbage out, not me. Yeah. I was the baby, so Mum made sure that I was the one that got all the good treatment.
Yeah. Mate, what was it like growing around the Newtown area?
Mate, it was, at the time back then, it wasn't so political, obviously.
Mm.
I'm sure that even the kids today would feel political movement going on somewhere.
Yeah, it was a really multicultural, different cultures living here that got on harmoniously.
Without a doubt, mate. They're the people that came here and worked their butts off to make it what it is, to bring these opportunities to everybody.
What was it like for you when your sister Tanya, when Jeff Fenwick started getting some notoriety and that sort of thing? I know he's been a good role model to you.
Mate, I put him down as a friend more than anything, but yeah. The things that he taught me in life have gave me the survival tools to fight through anything, no matter how low you are in life.
Mate, did he teach you how to fight? Because you got a good reputation in the area of a bloke that could handle himself.
I wasn't really the gym type, never have been, but from 30, I was 12 years old when he decided to coach us in rugby league. We went through the competition undefeated.
Yeah.
One try scored against us, and that was because of...
What team was that?
That was De La Salle.
Yeah.
De La Salle. We learned how to stand up for ourselves because of him.
Yeah.
And when it comes to adversity, how to fight through it. He's the most loyal man you'll ever meet.
He rang me the other day, and because he loves you to death, and he said, mate.
Feelings mutual, mate.
And he said to me, mate, he said, fucking tell Clint he's got my 100% backing. He said, I know what he's been through, and he said, that's fucking atrocious how he's been treated.
Yeah, I called in to see him just to make sure he was okay with me speaking about it.
Yeah,
I don't want him to have any surprises or anything like that. But, mate, yeah, he taught me that no matter what adversity comes your way, there's always a way to get through it. Not so much with the fisticuffs.
Yeah.
I didn't need to get that from him.
But
I was it looked like I was the ball boy of our team when we ran out in the grand final. I got caught in the ribbon. That's how small I was. But he called me the bulldog back then. That's because wouldn't matter who it was, how big they were, I'll stand up. And that's because of him.
Clint, I've known you for a long time. And one thing, if I had one word to describe you, it would be fair. And if there was a second word, it'd be honest.
Mate, you know what? This day and age, the honesty thing holds you back. It doesn't hold me back. But it gets people backing up on you. They're not sure if they've got something to hide. You're the last person they want in your life. But I'll always be that man. That's never going to change. My mother taught me that no matter what happens, to be straight and be honest and own your shit.
Even when the odds are against you, I can remember you've always been that guy. Clint's just a fair, honest guy. And no matter what, he won't go along with lies. A lot of people do. It's fucking, you won't go along with lies. That's a credit to you, man. That's a real good credit because it's fair. And we look at today, like the truth has become a crime. Look at Julian Assange. Classic example. The truth has become a crime. And this is what I want to enter into, you know. That's what I got you here, man, because I know what's happened to you. And it's fucking rotten by the police force, New South Wales police force in particular.
Inner West, actually, more than anything. Inner West LAC.
Yeah.
And officers.
And the officer in question is Keneally, who recently just got found guilty of, what was the charge you got found?
It was called 317, which is, I'll just paraphrase because I don't know the exact wording, but it's misleading the court with evidence or lying on evidence.
Basically perjury.
Yeah, totally.
It's a copper. It's a softer blow. It's not perjury. It's just a lesser charge.
Oh, it was a mistake most of the time. It's what they say, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it comes down to withholding evidence from the court system that they know without a doubt is needed for natural justice.
Now, let's just, I want to fast forward and then I want to backtrack. A couple of weeks ago, let's set the scene. Keneally's at court. What happened?
Okay. He's going into court for his sentencing with Luke Moore. Luke made a phone call to Newtown Police Station. Daniel Keneally answered the phone. Luke Moore was in a bit of a rage, so to speak, because of police from his area that were strip searching minors. And it's becoming sick. Strip searching minors makes me ill just thinking about it. You know why this continues to grow? It continues to grow because of the sick ones within the system that aren't interested in the truth.
Mm.
I'm talking magistrates as well. Mm. They all play a role. There's lawyers that play a role. Many of the people in the system play a role to hush everything up so that people don't get to hear it on record. And that's why it's getting out of hand. Now, when you're putting innocent people in jail, like Luke Moore, forget his past. I don't really care about his past, okay? But in that incident, he was trying to fight for a bit of natural justice, and he particularly, I believe he pointed out a particular officer in his area and said something along the lines of, I want him off this planet or I want him off this earth and I know where he lives. And what he's trying to say is, I'm coming after yous now. You just want to keep doing this to innocents and doing what you're doing to ruin lives. I'm coming after. Keneally decided to put it down that it was a threat of taking his life. But Luke Moore knows the police like I do, and he recorded it. He recorded the conversation, but he went to prison. And I'm telling you this because maybe these certain things were left out of court because that's what our system does. You either got a lawyer that does your speaking for you, and if you tell your lawyer something, he doesn't bring it up. It didn't happen. Pretty much didn't happen. It's a disgraceful system, mate. It really is.
And if you're left to devices of, like I've had it, legal aid lawyers, mate, you are in some trouble. Even the paid ones, like you can pay top dollar, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get good legal representation.
No. They'll go down their own path. They'll stick to the solid facts that are undeniable. It's if they got too much to do, like my previous one. If they got too much on their case, they want to minimise the workload. Like, I guess that's just a part of society. You want to minimise the workload. But when it comes to justice or natural justice, the things that you say to your lawyer or the things that you send, like I did, in prison, you send instructions that are ignored that change the outcome of what the decision's going to be, that's when it should be looked at as 317s. Right? Malfeasance within our legal system is so rampant that natural justice has fallen off the cliff. I had a barrister some time ago and I said to him, how is this going to run? And he said, mate, let me tell you something. 10 years ago, he said, what we used to do is put everything on the table. Didn't matter if it was for our client, against our client. The prosecution.
It's called a committal hearing.
Yeah, and the defence used to do the same thing. And we'd let the layman work it out, the jury. And 99 times out, these are his words, 99 times out of 100, the right decision would be made. He said, but now it's all about the theatrics. He's now a judge, Stephen Hanley. It's just appalling that they get to run what natural justice is.
Let's come back to Keneally, right? You go into court. You sit next to Keneally.
Yeah, it wasn't planned.
Yeah.
I was always planning to go to court to speak to the media because there's the likes of Inspector Fitzgerald, Sergeant Chapman, Detective Greentree from the Inner West that have, in my two recent cases with my son, they've not only played around with evidence, they've deleted footage from a phone, which played a huge role.
Prevent the course of justice.
There's no natural justice when this is allowed to go on and your lawyer ignores you about it. But my plan was to go there and speak to the media. Now, I know the mainstream media is a whole different ball game.
They're complicit.
Yeah, they certainly are, mate. But that was my plan and I wanted him to see me there because I want him to know this ain't going away.
When you say going away, let's backtrack a little bit again. What happened with Keneally?
Picked up some food for the family, for me boys, me son and me grandson, maybe 2 minutes away, drove home. On the way home, I went to park my car and I bumped into the car behind me. I'm assuming I did, and I took responsibility for it anyway. But I got out full of apologies, feeling a bit stupid. So the female driver crosses the road. The guy in the passenger side gets out abusing me and really aggressively abusing me. That's not who I am. I'm not going to stand for that from anyone. I don't care who it is. But he did put me in doubt because of the way he was aggressive. I thought, hang on, maybe I did do a bit more damage or something. And I moved closer and I looked down at where we would have connected just to check. By this time, the guy's come out from his passenger side. I don't realise this, but I do get him in my 20/20 coming in my direction. And I stand up. And I've been told by my son, which I can't remember, to be honest, but apparently I got a smack in the neck here. But what I remember is he's grabbed me in the bear hug, okay, and he's just started squeezing me. And I couldn't get out of it. He was quite a strong man. My hand on his face because I couldn't push him away with my head. Because he was too strong and he just kept pushing me back with the head to head. I put my hand on his face. I felt his eye, decided not to go that way. It's not who I am. So I stuck my fingers in his mouth and I ripped at his mouth to pull him away just in the hope that his grip would loosen and I could get away and at least have a chance to defend myself. It worked to a certain extent, but all I'd done is just turn me back to him as I pushed away from him. And when I'd done that, he grabbed me from behind in the neck. And at that time, I didn't know my son and my grandson were at the scene yet, okay? But when he had me from this way, I was facing the road at this time, and I seen a lady I know that works down the road holding my grandson. And that was the last vision I had. Now, I told my lawyer, Peter O'Brien, this. It just went nowhere for some reason. And I felt like my energy just drained. I felt it going through me. I knew I was going to pass out, and I did. When I came to, I'm sitting on the footpath, sirens going off everywhere. I see a bunch of police going through my car. I notice my son nursing my grandson against a shop window, approximately 5 metres from the police officers, who I now know as Inspector Fitzgerald, Sergeant John Chapman. Two of them at least. There was quite a few more. I later find out that these detective and sergeant, Inspector Fitzgerald and Sergeant John Chapman, were more of there to have a supervision over Keneally because it was only 3 weeks previous that he'd lied to put Luke Moore in prison. Now, luckily, Luke Moore recorded the conversation because otherwise he could have been in for a long time, mate. Think about it. That man.
That intention was really bad.
Mate, he could have been in prison for 20 years, mate, or 15 years for threatening to kill a police officer. That's what they were trying to portray on him.
Mm.
So this is no small thing like the mainstream media want it to be.
It should be a case where Keneally should be, in a fair and just world, in a pragmatic society, you'd think you'd want that charge to be applied, the sort of time frame applied to him, but it never would be.
It never would. No. Look, I gave up on that some time ago. Yeah. No way in the world that would happen. Mm. Not with the way our system works.
Mm.
Our system works about doing favours for each other.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's what lets the legal aid system down. These people are lawyers and want to have a great, wonderful future. They can't compete with the likes of the Peter O'Briens and that in the world because as soon as somebody with a lot more experience says, this is how we're going to go with us, this person doesn't want to step out of line and have some magistrate they're in front of remember them for the rest of their life and their career goes nowhere.
I've been friends with a lot of lawyers over the years, and especially in Queensland. I had one lawyer who's now a pretty high-profile lawyer, told me how it works. He goes, sometimes you just got to give them someone.
Yeah.
That were his words.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I seem to be that person most times, mate.
Yeah.
I can tell you that. But just getting back to it, when I see the sirens, see him searching my car, my son obviously being detained for some reason, I later find out that my son took this bloke off me. Now, I'll just tell you who this bloke was so you can understand the evidence that they're trying to hide and why they're trying to hide it from the public. He was he's a senior detective from Nepean. His name is Michael O'Brien.
Mm.
That's the man that assaulted me. Mm. Turns out I end up having two fractured, my C5, C6 fractured in my neck, and the police refused to give me an ambulance when my adrenaline dropped.
Mm.
I tried, I pleaded, they refused. luckily that somebody in court in on remand approximately a week later or something, they were giving me painkillers straight up for it. They were listening to what I was saying. There's a problem here. There's a problem. They eventually, they documented it. Now, I've come in, I've now got them documents. So all the information that was given to O'Brien, my lawyer, to the police, was completely ignored to try and make this go away. And their investigation doesn't seem to have that in there yet. But I have the documents. LECC have been made fully aware.
Who's LECC? What's that?
Okay, so they're the corruption watchdog, so to speak. They took over from...
So coppers that investigate the cops. Is that, would be a fair description?
I don't know them personally, and I'll tell you why. Because when they send emails, they have a secretary or a paralegal send it. They never have their names on it.
I think we've seen them in full display when the 95-year-old pensioner was tasered, murdered, because she was murdered. There's no other way of putting it, down at Cooma in a nursing home where she came forward with a blunt butter knife on a walking frame. And you've seen the lengths that these LECC went to cover up for that.
Yeah, and they weren't alone. Let's just put a name to that face. And that was Claire Noland.
Mm.
Absolute disgrace the way everybody dealt with that.
Who's the copper?
So Karen Webb.
Oh, that's the one I wanted to get to.
Yeah, mate, let's get real. She'll do whatever she can to cover her little minions running around creating this havoc for people's lives, because I directly reached out to her. And what do they do? They send it to the police to investigate.
No.
Hell, that's, we're going to get some natural justice that way, aren't we?
Yeah.
Now, I think the process has gone along the lines of...
I think that one there became too hot to handle. There was uproar, and the public were outraged at the lengths that they went. And I think we seen it on full display for a real. I think it was a first time in a long time, and the public were outraged at the how come there was no transparency in this case.
Well, that's just the way things work within the system.
So it's systemic, you think?
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's systemic.
Mm.
Now I understand that there is going to be cases.
Did that surprise you, but Clint, when you sat back after what you've experienced, did that surprise you how that got handled?
No, not at all. No, not at all. The problem was with what I have experienced for many years, I then had a dark space in my head where I couldn't see reality properly. Mm. When I say that, I just couldn't believe what was happening.
It made you extremely cynical.
Oh, without a doubt.
And it made you have a major distrust for the police?
Oh, look, the things that have happened to my friends back in the day, yes, maybe.
You're growing up in Newtown, Erskineville, Marrickville, you would have seen that.
Oh, without a doubt. And the people that don't have, let's say, and I'm not suggesting for any moment that I am this genius that can work things out, because it's taken me a long time to get to where I am. But what about the people that I was writing letters for on remand? They were trying to get bail and get back to their family, but the legal system wouldn't allow them to have a lawyer there present to be able to help and write these things. Mm. And they're coming to me in prison because they knew that I had a fair bit of knowledge of the way the police work against people. But it's the 317 needs to have more attention. Because this
317, this is this when they're lying in court.
It's not just lying in court. It's misleading the court on evidence that they know will help the court make a decision that will be based on natural justice.
Mm.
Now, these are just buzzwords now. The natural justice thing, it's out the window, but they'll say, yes, natural justice, natural, we created natural. No, they don't. And they don't attempt to because the police are allowed to withhold evidence. And when your lawyer doesn't want to challenge
it. In a case of public interest, is that what they run it on?
Nah, mate, look, it's to protect the police so they can have more power, unauthorised power, to make arrests.
But they run it under the guise of public interest, and that's never challenged. They go, oh, it's a public interest that we don't release this evidence.
It's another buzz term.
Mm.
It's another buzz term. It's like how it's filtered into schools. It's filtered into DCJ. They'll use the buzzwords because let's be real, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to people out there. Again, I'm no genius.
Mm.
I just lived what I've lived, and I've worked out quite a lot of things about the systems that are put in place by government. It's government want control, and we all know that.
Mm.
It's stepped up and it's gone to a whole new level now.
I just want to bring something up. I recently watched the 1-4 documentary, and in that 1-4 documentary had Rap the Who's, apparently the bikie task force, is telling us He's telling young, troubled youth what music they can sing. Amazing. They're saying, oh, we've become censorship. We don't need bikey squad. We're here to tell you what music and what you can have in your lyrics. And if it ain't nursery rhymes, you can't sing it. And they say, and we're going to, and the word they used, we're going to harass you until you stop. Well, that's brazen.
That's going back to the point that these guys don't know how to work around the system. I now do.
Mm.
And if your verbals mean nothing,
mm.
it doesn't matter what you go home and tell mum and dad. Mum and dad don't have the resources
yeah.
that the police have, that lawyers have and judges have. Okay, they have resources to be able to just hold you down. No matter how strong your evidence is, they can hold you down
mm.
because of their resources and the amount of people mm. that work in together.
That's what they beat you with, resources. Of course they team up, and it's the biggest form of bullying. I've seen it. I grew up in Mount Druitt, and I remember coppers just bashing it. My first interaction with a copper was they bashed me for sitting around a bonfire.
Yeah.
And then not only, basically it was child abuse. So what they did, they got four of us, put us in an F-100 paddy wagon, drove us 10 Ks out of town, took all our clothes off us, and made us walk home naked. If that's not child abuse, I don't know what is. But society will cop that, they must have been doing something wrong.
That's going back to the fact that society, 90% of people don't want to live life.
Mm.
They're happy. When I say that, no disrespect to them, but their life is based around church or the family only.
Mm.
They don't think about taking risks in society to try and be greater, to try and be better at what you do. Okay. Yeah. Now, when it comes to that, they're naive at best about the things that go on within the system.
They're naive. It's like all these squads in a ring. Everyone started playing up in COVID when they're knocking on their doors.
Yeah.
Oh, they shouldn't be allowed to do that. They've been sneaking that in for years.
Yeah, exactly right. And the freedom of speech, let's keep taking that away.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, create environments within the school system because that's where it starts. We can manipulate the children quite easily.
Mm.
Now, I'm actually going through a situation with that with the school now.
I want to really touch on that, Clint, because this is how far and wide-reaching they can be.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. So let's talk about what the police have done at your grandson's school.
Just want to go back to when I came out of my, I don't know, whatever it was, when I passed out for a few moments. And when I seen the sirens and the police and doing what they were doing, I had no doubt I was going to prison. Whether it be for a short time, long time, I don't know yet. But I knew what they were doing. I didn't know that Michael O'Brien was a senior detective at Nepean at the time.
Mm.
We found that out a week later because some copper told me son. Mm. Hey? So he did help me.
Otherwise, you would have never known.
Mate, I would have been sitting in jail for 5 years, you know. It's because this O'Brien was going for a compensation claim.
Mm.
As well. So he's probably just milking it. He wasn't too disadvantaged to be able to fracture my neck in two places.
Mm.
I'm not as weak as to allow that to happen.
It would be a task.
My son pulled his phone out and he recorded him. And he was, mate, no more, a footpath's maybe 3 metres wide, three and a half. He was no more than 4 metres from Inspector Fitzgerald, Sergeant John Chapman and Daniel Keneally, while they were turning their cameras on and off, no less than 4 occasions. That's already been shown. Peter O'Brien showed that in court. The week later, my son, he's an honest kid.
Mm.
He wants the truth. He's like me.
Mm.
If he lies, he can beat it,
so,
as far as I'm concerned. He opened the phone for him.
Because you know where that's going.
Jessica Riley, probationary constable Jessica Riley, she took the phone from him. Now, just so your audience is aware, probationary constable Jessica Riley was involved in the Daniel Keneally matter.
It's like
they're a team that are going to go, let's work the evidence this way and we'll get this fucker. And that's their mindset. Now, I want to just put a disclaimer out there, mate. No human being, and I believe this from the bottom of my heart, Russell, no human being wakes up one day, has a discussion with his parents and says, I'm going to be a cop because I want to go and ruin some lives. Not one of them. No. It's not human nature. They're
indoctrinated.
Not human nature.
Yeah, but they're indoctrinated. They can go over there with all their good intentions in the world and they're indoctrinated into a corrupt system.
Look how long it took probationary constable Jessica Riley, twice in the space of 4 weeks.
Mm.
She decided to withhold information. She was the first contact of senior detective Michael O'Brien.
Mm.
And you know what he said? Yeah, I did punch him first. Mm. She knew, and it's in her notebook, that I was assaulted, okay, between her, Daniel Keneally, Sergeant John Chapman, and Inspector Fitzgerald. They knew that I was assaulted at the scene. At the scene. Anyway, they took my son's phone because he said to Jessica Riley and her partner in the holding cell he was, he said, "You know exactly what you're doing to me, father. We're not fools. You've been doing it for a very long time." And he said, "I even recorded it." So she goes, "I'll show us." And he showed them, unfortunately, but that's all right.
Mm.
And they seen the footage. So maybe that was a, oh, yes, we've got it now.
Mm.
We can get rid of this. The phone went through the chain of command. The lead detective in his case was Detective Greentree.
Mm.
He, it got, I think it's somewhere along the chain of custody he had it.
Mm.
It went to Chapman as well. We ended up, a friend of mine, Tanya, who, God love her, without her I would be at least 5 years in jail. She's absolutely amazing, and she's kept every document ever. We end up getting an email, sending an email to Detective Lim, who was involved in a common assault case with me that I was hammered on as well after an Iceman came at my son with a knife. I didn't put any hands on him, but I went through a bit over a year of a common assault trial that was put down for one day that Peter O'Brien dragged on for four and got found guilty, where the evidence wasn't entered in court, where Detective Lopez lied on the stand about this person's drug addict, yet they agreed to send him to rehab in Newcastle. They knew right along. And Sergeant Bucknell, who was the prosecutor in that matter, she led the magistrate all the way through there. And the magistrate, McIntyre, who's a friend of Peter O'Brien, actually found me guilty on evidence that an extract that was pulled out of my approximate 35, 40 minute, whatever, recorded interview, but they didn't put it into the court. I don't know how that's supposed to happen either. So it cost me a great deal of money and a lot of hardship, further hardship to me family.
Well, let's talk about the hardship to your family. What has it done? It's devastated your family.
Mate, you know what? My son turned to drugs because of this. Just go rewinding a little to what you wanted to talk about before, where as I didn't feel that police brutality that many of my friends did, I know what you've copped your whole life.
Mm.
He was dragged out of school by this Inner West police when he was 13 years old because he was assaulted and he defended himself.
Mm.
Now, the court documents would show at Glebe Children's Court that he was assaulted. It was agreed facts, but he was still forced to plead guilty so that he could move on. Do you know what happened about 8 months later? He was at a service station. Some people were having a fight. Ashfield police arrested him, dragged it through court right up until he was doing his HSC. So he's a damn strong kid and still continued to try and fight for a better life, regardless of what was happening. A federal judge at Burwood Children's Court absolutely hammered the police and the prosecution because they dragged this on for so long and damaged him pretty good, to the point where that federal judge in his comments said, I am in great fear of what you've done to this child's future, because there wasn't one shred of evidence for him to be arrested, for him, let alone to drag through court for so long. But that, along with the arrest that I got with my grandson in 2018 from Andrew Tarzik, Constable Andrew Tarzik, who was clearly advised by Sergeant Ashcroft from the Inner West, again, all Inner West.
Mm.
They're called bikers gangs. Are you kidding me? Bikers, they go after innocent people and never have and never would. But these gang of police will go after innocent kids, mate. My grandson's been traumatised, sees a psychologist because of the amount of times these police have traumatised him. And that's why he couldn't speak when he got to school.
Mm.
Yes, and my son turned to drugs.
Let's go to school. That's what happened. Have the police given you some harassment at the school?
Not directly, no. But I have no doubt whatsoever their involvement that went to DCJ when they handed it.
Who's DCJ?
That's the old facts.
Mm.
Department of Community and Justice. We won't help you if we don't like you because the police told us good. Sorry about that. They sent a woman, a racist woman, over by the name of Karen Beasley. She came in with a partner, And I said to her, which I am an open book, as you've clearly said, listen, I have a past and this is what it is. And she goes, oh, don't worry, waving me antecedents around. Don't worry about that. I know all about you. Right. Well, clearly it came from the police. So they refused to help, refused point blank. I continually emailed, my son needs psychological help. You said you'd help with it. My grandson needs assistance. And I continue these emails because she was ignoring me. Then I get an email that she sent to her boss. I haven't got her name on the top of my head at the moment, but it's all down here.
Yeah.
And she, in the email, it said, can you tell this guy to leave me alone? Paraphrasing once again.
Yeah.
Because I was harassing her because I wanted help from my family. This is your job. And I'm just trying to push through with what you agreed with so that my family can get what they want and have a proper go at life. That's all I was after. Nothing more, nothing less. I don't want special favours, but I wasn't in a position.
But I just want to ask you something this, Clint. Do you think many people cop this bullying, cop it on the chin, hopefully it goes away, and then they move on to the next people? Do you reckon they do a lot of that?
I think society has created a sphere of frightened people. And what's the courts about, Russell? The courts are about having an argument. But you can't do it if somebody's in the wrong. You can't speak up. Because if you do, what happens? The New South Wales police will be knocking at your door. And let's face it, people just want peace in their life. Whether it be they want to take better opportunities or strive for greater things, or if they just want to have a peaceful home, family life. They're even trying to damage that. The government even wants to damage that now.
Yeah. It is. It's crazy. And but you know what I've seen? The lengths they will go to cover things up and assist each other. And it's – I'll give you an example. Cursor is a rapper. He's a good friend of ours and what we do. And the other week he had a concert at Enmore, and they turned up and they said, if you don't pay $20,000, the show won't go ahead. And he said, what for? He said, for security. He said, can't I just get normal security? No, they've got to be copping. This is extortion, right? So he pays the $20,000. They say, and then they go, another $18,000 for metal detectors. Like a gold-plated metal detectors, right? So he has to pay $38,000. Now, we're talking about a kid through the art of music has escaped a life of crime, but here they are trying to push him back into it.
Instead of celebrating it, celebrating and using him as an example for the young kids that are growing up, and they're going that way, whether they're from a single parent or they're from a violent home or what have you. That's a tool that you can put into a whole generation of kids. 100%. A whole generation.
And encourages them to stay in school, to get their vocabulary up. You don't have to like the music. No one's asking you to, but what you could say is you could like the concept.
Exactly right.
And you celebrate the concept. Here's an opportunity. Here's a resource to stop these kids getting into trouble. Well, or we're going to shut it down.
This is why free speech is so important yet again, isn't it? Because then somebody sees a better way, they need to speak up about it. But what happens is government will shut that down. That's why the
grooming. And then they jump on the news and say, we need more coppers. We need bigger tasers, powerful guns. Helicopters, fucking gunships, bring it all in. They want the fucking lot. But, and then point at these kids. I say this, and my barrister partner at the time would say, how come these kids ain't singing fuck the ambulance fucking service? What part is these coppers playing? I know it. I know these coppers go into those low socioeconomic areas, shit stir them kids up. When they react, go look at the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly right.
He needs to be detained. He needs handcuffs. He needs gassed.
Because society thinks that police can be believed. The police can't harm you. Police won't do something to direct your life in a bad way. That is an absolute fallacy.
Oh, 110%.
All the trauma my grandson has received because of police and other items, and, mate, I'm straight up. His own father, my son, who's now come good and in a great place and been the dad I know he can be, and the kid's mother. There's many bad players at the time.
Because, look, not every family's perfect. Mate, you shouldn't be punished and harassed for your imperfections.
I don't think there is such thing as a perfect family or a perfect person. Like, having flaws is what makes us so different.
Yep.
Having flaws and different ideas. But when it comes to my grandson, it was trauma. It was evident. It was evident to anybody that's seen him. And I was screaming it from the rooftops. I wasn't saying, my son done's doing a great job. It's everybody else. No, I wasn't. I kicked my son out on three occasions because I wasn't going to allow him to traumatise my grandson any further, okay? And it's come to a place where it's gone full circle.
So he's seen the error in his ways and he went away and done the work on himself.
He has.
Fucking good on him. Good on him,
mate.
Coach.
Super proud of where he's at. And so you should be. I am, mate. Because you know what? Somebody once said to me, a dear friend of mine named Wanda, she once said to me when I was talking to her about my issues that you've got, Clint, you've got to have faith that what you've raised your kid with is going to come full circle and it's going to come back because that's what's instilled in him.
Hmm.
And I'm now seeing that and I think about her every day. Every time I see it, I think of you, Wanda, if you're watching.
I just want to add, Clint's pride and joy is his grandson. You have the most amazing bond. Your social media is about you and the little fella. And I heard him the other day. He comes up there and goes, it's Friday. It's my day today, isn't it, Poppy?
Well, you made that call when you called me.
You want to make sure nothing's getting in the way.
I created Kyan's Day so that he could bend the rules a little bit.
Hmm.
Nothing that's going to send him in the wrong direction, that's for sure. But he can have an extra banana milk for breakfast if he wants. Just the minor things like that. Hmm. But it means a lot to him. And it's helped him grow that type
of validation.
Mate, it's helped him grow to the happy kid he is.
Hmm.
I took him down to see Jeff's brother, Eric, who's in hospital, not in a great way. And sad to see him like that, but he's a fighter. But I took Kyan down, and Kyan hadn't seen him for, I don't know, maybe since he was 4 years old, and I prepared him thinking that Eric might not be in the best place and it might frighten him. So I prepared him for it. Mate, you should have seen the spirit he lifted in Eric. Mate, I'm nearly getting a tear in my eye now because he's my grandson's compassion and joy to share with somebody else the hugs, the affection he gave Eric laying in that hospital bed. Mate, it lifted Eric like you wouldn't believe, mate.
I just want to touch on something you just said. Here's you, this guy that's been harassed, and not a lot of empathy and compassion's been shown to you, but you still have this ability to have that in your grandson too. That's a credit to you.
Russell, mate, that's me mum. That's me mum coming out of me. Hey, I got a hell of a lot of flaws, and I can understand why people decided to back away from me. I totally get it. Where you're in a dark place because of an injustice or what have you, there's some people can only act a certain way, and I'm a fighter. Jeff made me a fighter. And it doesn't matter how low I get in life, I know where I'm going to end up. I know I'm going to get back.
No, no matter what, when the odds are against you and with blokes and fights and stuff like that, you've never been one to back away.
Totally, mate. The truth is what everything should be about, because if people could go through society and have that attitude, no matter what hard times you get in your life, because we're all going to get them. And if you think you're going to avoid them, you're kidding yourself. For sure. There's always, everything's relevant to you and your life.
I relate to it, Clint, my viewers know about my past. I've pleaded guilty to every fucking single charge I've been good for, and a couple that I weren't, just to speed up the process.
That's part of it.
And that's what they want. They get used to people pleading guilty of the things they're not good for, because they set the system like, all right, just an example, you're sitting on remand, you're going to spend more time on remand to challenge it than you would for actually getting sent. So they say, so the legal aid comes in, mate, if you plead guilty, you're only going to get 6 months. If you wait 12 months, you might go to trial and get found not guilty, you're still going to serve 12 months.
But you might get found not guilty.
You might.
And, mate, how many people are going to run with the risk, that kind of risk?
Yeah.
Mate, people have got a life to live. They've got family that need to protect. They've got family they need to support.
100%.
And, of course, I don't have to tell you about the male rate of jail. So how many fathers have been taken away from their boys? And then boys just go, shoo, to the 100%. Wrong side of the road. That's never going to change until the system changes. And people like Daniel Keneally, Inspector Fitzgerald and Sergeant John Chapman are held accountable in the public forum.
100%. But then there's another side of it. You go to jail and you end up on random blood placement. So random bed placements are a system that corrective services create to put you in a different jail every couple of weeks, move you around. It's a form of, it's called diesel torture. So they move you around from jail to jail and jail, and it's just easier to plead fucking guilty and get it over and done with and get out.
No, and you go for the drive in that truck, and then they go from one jail to another, and the officers, the corrective service officers, go and have a coffee and a meal and a shower and a lay down. While you're sitting in that truck.
sweating your guts out.
If they decide to put you in a holding cell, you're like,
yeah, thank you. I'm
going into a cell.
You know, and you could have your family booked in to see you, and they just move you the day before. And your family be coming from fucking Dubbo. I had a commissioner's meeting, and they wanted some advice from me. And I said, the first thing you guys have got to do is get rid of random bed placement, because you're torturing people. You're destroying families. And they didn't want to talk about it, like everything. Yeah.
That's the whole thing, mate. And even if they do, what are they going to do? They're going to sit there and listen to you and placate you and let you think that, oh, mate, we're going to take your ideas on board because you've lived it.
Put it in a shredder.
Not happening. It's totally. Well, look at Karen Webb. Karen Webb, let's just send it back to the police so the police can cover the police. And that's what's happening in my Keneally matter right now. Where's that at? Good question. Like I said, it was only last week the LECC finally got back to us.
The police that investigate the police?
Maybe I misread. My friend Tanya corrected me a little on it. It seems that what they done is they waited for the transcripts. Now, again, the transcripts don't hold all the information. My neck is not in there, but the medicals I have, the evidence I have, the deletion of the footage, the metadata cannot be taken. At the very least, it will show that when it was in the possession of the Inner West Police, there was footage deleted, and it will also show that at the time of my arrest, my son actually did record. Mm. And they know he did because they watched it with him.
Mm. Clint, yep. I just want to say, where do we go with this, mate? And brother, I know how badly it's affected your mental health. I know the damage it's done to your family. And you don't deserve it. You're a fucking champion. Always have been. You've been a man of the highest integrity. And if they can do this to you, they can do it to anyone.
Mate, I think, look, my future, I want it to be in advocacy because of them people that are sitting in prison. There has to be somebody that is sitting with these people when they're speaking with lawyers to hold the lawyers accountable.
That's how my business, the Voice of a Survivor, now Warriors Advocacy, was established. Our biggest thing is keeping your lawyers honest and not letting them throw survivors under the bus, and that's why we're so successful.
When you think about it, all right, lawyers, police, magistrate, everyone within the law, they don't have a bunch of time that they'd like to give because their aim is to be bigger and better, like everybody in the human race.
Corporate.
But
corporate of the public service ladder.
They shouldn't be taking on jobs that they're not willing to put the time into.
Yeah.
And when they start doing that and it's more about the money and it's not about justice, and that word just gets thrown around too much in the media, way too much. I have media people making contact with me to try and do a story.
Let's go. Yeah,
you know what they'll do? They'll pick bits and pieces. Mm. They won't give the whole story, just like the lawyers, just like the prosecution. They keep the narrative to the result they want.
That's more what will sell a newspaper.
Oh, of course. But there has to be.
They can't destroy families like this. What they've done to your family is a dead set travesty.
Mate, look, I'm going to tell you now, they're not going to hold me down.
Mm.
It don't matter what they try and do. I go and see Jeff because I want his advice.
Mm.
I want to feel his strength.
Mm.
I'm getting chills now. But when I'm around him, I feel a strength that he taught me when I was younger, and it just makes me stronger as a human being. Makes me want to be more honest and call people out the way that things should.
On that note, Clint, it's been a pleasure having you here. There's so much to this story. Keneally, what he's done to you and your family in particular, I'm going to talk about all day because it's the right thing to do. I want to stop these coppers creating future criminals with the harassment of these young kids because they're a big part of the problem. The elephant in the room is them.
Exactly right. Mate, well, just on that, I just want to let you know, you inspire me every day.
Cheers,
mate. Mate, I don't piss in pockets.
I know you don't.
Believe me, I don't. But let me tell you something, mate. Just every time you speak and every time a truth comes out of you, I feel it here, man.
Thank you,
so please don't ever stop.
I'm going nowhere.